You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Bart and Hahn Podcast.
It's hour number three, Bart Scott. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and hour number three means only one thing. What does it mean?
The Pauly Power Hour.
Yes, it is. Only the best guests in the 2 o'clock hour on this show. So let's go to the Goodyear Hotline right now and bring in. We haven't talked to him in a while.
Call him Pauly. Like I feel like he's like Goon Goblin. Like Pauly, like sound like tough ass. You know, that, you can't just go Paul. Go Pauly.
You want me to really like thicken up the New York accent as we bring in Paul Feinbaum?
Before you guys bring him in, we're actually discussing Paul earlier and the iron fist that he rules his show when he discusses it, talks to his callers. So take a listen to this. What you guys had to say earlier.
He'd be putting him in line though. He'd be cracking a whip.
I love it. Well, that's what he does.
I'm telling you, Paul Feinbaum is a thug. He's a thug. Like he may not hide the body, but he's gonna tell somebody, go, hey, get him out of here. That's all they gotta do.
I mean, it is true. Let's be honest. That is how that show goes. And if you ever listen to it, you know what we're talking about, the Paul Feinbaum show on ESPN Radio. Paul, how are you? Thanks for joining us. And what did you think of that intro?
Guys, I'm so sad my late mom is not alive. She grew up in Brooklyn, and the idea of you calling me a thug, she would have knocked you over the head with a Bialy.
It's a term of endearment. I mean, listen, you just that respect just oozes out of the TV every time I see you.
I like it though. No, I personally, that means a lot to me because in my life, I can assure you, nobody's ever called me a thug.
It's always just how you carry yourself. But what I wanted to ask you is, and I'll be honest, just right out of the gate, and it's going to be obvious when I ask it, I didn't do any research before I asked this question. When was the last time an SEC school was not in the national championship?
I can tell you that. It was 2014. And it was the first year of the college football playoff, and Alabama was upset. They were about a 9-point favorite over Ohio State. That was the year, remember, Ohio State was down to its third-string quarterback, Cardell Jones.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. So they lost in the semis. Other than that, I am really going to have to think very hard. I think you'd have before 2014, including we're talking about the BCS era, you'd have to go back to 2000. And five, when USC and Texas, the famous Vince Young game. So, I mean, we're talking twice now since 2005 that the SEC has not been playing for the national championship.
Right, and all Nick Saban did after that upset in 2014 was come back and win a championship in 2015. Yeah. So that's just the way it's been. It just feels like it's really – like yesterday, all that was a rematch of the SEC championship, but it just feels like that's what you're getting. You're getting an SEC school or maybe two each time because they just have the best teams every year. Is that ever going to change with maybe expansion of the college football playoff format?
Well, I think the NIL.
I
wonder if the NIL is funny.
As both coaches talked about.
Yeah, you hear Saban and you hear Smart talking about the NIL. Well, they've basically been at their own NIL for years. And finally now that the power balance can shift a little bit because other teams got opportunities to offer things to players that can pull them away. Because I feel like every year in the transport portal, I feel like the average age of Alabama is damn near the age of the New York Jets this year.
Well, you're right. I mean, the portal could upset it, but the portal and the NIL still favor the SEC, though, because
right. –
The numbers are, I mean, the only school that I see that poses a threat moving forward is probably Southern Cal because of Lincoln Riley.
Right.
But I mean, even Ohio State it's in the conversation, but at SEC schools, I mean, I've heard some horror stories, and I'm certainly not going to propagate rumors on, on a respected show like this. But
no, propagate away.
I mean, there are just some astronomical numbers floating around in terms of what indirectly schools are doing to help NIL. And I, again, there's no way to substantiate it. But right. The people
should
in
it
the
be
South,
regulated?
I was on a plane early this morning with Georgia fans coming out of Indianapolis, and I mean, I know fans love what they do, and it doesn't matter who you root for, but I mean, this was somewhat of a religious experience for them. I mean, I felt like
40 years.
I mean, they were bleary eyed, but they had that look of revelation
that they had seen. They had finally seen the light. Yeah. But you know what's amazing though about what's happening with college sports in general, but especially when you look at the football, the machine that it is, of course, the money-making machine that it is, and we're talking about NIL, and we're talking about the opportunity for players to make money and then certain programs to benefit from the fact that they are situated somewhere where there's a lot more opportunity to make that kind of money, is I go back to all the movies we saw in the early 90s.
Blue Chips
being one of them, where all that stuff now is like, yeah, no, you can do that. That's fine. Like you can easily find ways to get a bag of money to somebody, and it's completely legal because we paid him for an appearance that he never made, but we paid him for this appearance. Like that's the part where it does feel like it's getting a little out of control because there is no regulation to it. And I just wonder, Paul, if that's ever how do you possibly regulate something like that once you've opened the door?
You can't. And I thought of that yesterday. I happened to pass the headquarters of the NCAA in Indianapolis. And I started my career, Alan, as an investigative reporter. And, the NCAA coming in on you was a big deal. It could wreck your program for years. I mean, look at SMU. It took 30 years to recover. But the NCAA could not investigate an allegation if you gave them a tape of it. they are incompetent.
They need the FBI.
And beside that, they don't even care. In college basketball right now, I mean, they got guys who are on federal tapes who are still coaching. And it's just federal tapes. And remember that trial a couple of years ago.
Right.
And by the way, at this point, if nobody cares, cheat. I mean, cheat like a bandit. And that's it. And I'm pretty sure that's what most of the big time programs are doing. Now they act like they're not. And quite frankly, if you're a player, why not have your hand out? Bryce Young, he had $1 million deal before he started his first game at Alabama.
Yeah. $1 million deal.
I mean, speaking about Bryce Young.
Makes you wonder why they leave for the NFL.
well, that's a good point. I say it all the time. Most of the players.
To play for a New York team.
Most of the teammates I played with, especially when I was with the Jets, I always say, when they came here their first couple of years, they're taking a pay cut. But you think about Stetson Bennett and Bryce Young. I mean, what a great story it is for Stetson Bennett kind of getting redemption, coming back, all that he's went through. And I thought he was nervous and struggled early in the game. And then they settled down in the second half. They kind of figured some things out. But I want to focus more on Bryce Young because you don't want to be the Heisman Trophy winner that didn't deliver, right, when the standards are so high for Alabama. So, how do we expect this young man to bounce back? And we've seen, Alabama lose before, and they usually are a lock and a guarantee to win it the following year.
They usually are. And I think Bryce Young was just he got dealt a bad blow. He had already lost his number two receiver. Now in the second quarter, he loses Jamison Williams, who's as good a receiver as there is. And you could tell. I mean, I think a lot of the passes, he was putting the ball in the right place, but the receivers just weren't. They were not comfortable with getting there. And Georgia, on the other hand, Stetson Bennett, after the SEC championship blowout, his fans wanted him out. He wasn't the starter at the beginning of this year. JT Daniels was, who's a transfer from Southern Cal, who, by the way, was the co-favorite to win the Heisman with Spencer Rattler, who lost his starting job. it's a bad year to be a Heisman favorite.
Right.
I assure you. The two Heisman favorites didn't even end up the season starting. Shows you how much the Heisman experts are. But, it's just, It is a really remarkable story because, this guy was like third or fourth string. He almost blew the game. He had a brief meltdown in the third quarter, but he pulled out of it. And I think that's what was so remarkable. You don't expect Alabama to lose the momentum in the fourth quarter, and they completely decomposed. And Bryce, yeah, I mean, there's no way to walk away from a pick six that cost you a national championship. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's ask Peyton Manning. He threw one of those, I think, in a Super Bowl, didn't he?
Well, the good thing is Dad is a sports psychologist or something like that, right? He should be able to get him right back where he needs to be.
Well, again, it's so early in his career, too. It's something like that is it only builds that, all right, we'll get it done next year, which they already are their favorites. But Paul, we're talking with Paul Feinbaum on the Goodyear Hotline. I mean, Nick Saban's won so much. I mean, the 7 titles, 6 there at Alabama. He just comes off one last year. You know. And I thought he was pretty gracious, obviously being Kirby Smart, somebody that he knows personally. The things he said after the game, all the right things. What he said about his two, he had the two guys up with him at the podium. And before they left, he wanted to make sure everybody heard him say how much they meant to him and how much they meant to the program. You know, just really being reflective. But still, it is a loss, though, in the national championship. Does this impact his legacy at all, or is that all stuff long gone, like with all the titles and everything he's done?
I don't think it does. Now, by the way, this is the third time he's lost in a national championship
right.
game. No, he's won, what, 7 mm-hmm. or 8? Or
seven,
he's won
right,
7.
Yeah.
Belichick's lost 3. It happens. Yeah, I think the biggest difference was, had he won last night, we would be talking about Saban, not only as the GOAT in college football, but, you know, he would be compared to Wooden and others in other sports.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this stops that. And I mean, he's always going to be the favorite until he's not. I mean, he is 70 years old, and you can do whatever you want with that age. But most coaches don't get better at 70. I mean, they really don't. But he does have such a good team coming back, though, and I think that's really, you know, the two best players going into that game last night were Bryce Young and Will Anderson Jr. And I don't know how much you guys have talked about Anderson, but I mean, he's
going to be
really
the number one pick, right? Yeah, he's going to be he'll be a top pick.
Well, you know,
and there's no question.
Yeah,
I think the question is what offensive guru from the NFL that's losing their job is he going to rehabilitate next? You know, because you just look at, you know, you come down there with Nick Saban, you come down and you're a head coaching prospect.
O'Brien's gonna get,
you know, you got Bill job. O'Brien, that's probably the front runner right now. I mean, I don't know, does he take Anthony Lynn down there, fix him up? And that's what I love about his teams. He comes down there and they're always slightly different because he's always has some new coordinator, somebody that has done something well in his league. But you brought up great coaches. And you brought up Wooden, you brought up Bear Bryant. I don't know if you said Bear Bryant, you know, Phil Jackson. And then you got Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh.
And pause for laughter.
And I wonder.
Sorry about that.
I wonder at this point, you got Ross coming out saying that, hey, he's not going to poach a great coach from his alma mater, a place that he loves. But, you know, you said something the other day that I was listening, that you said that you believe that, you know, it's time for Harbaugh to leave because I think he realized that that's about the best that he can do is getting to the playoffs. You know, it's a different ball game. You talk about the SEC and the Big Ten, and he's not in that league, and he can't. And if he can't win that game, you know, it's probably best for him to pack up his bags and go get an NFL job where he has a much better chance in winning a Super Bowl than he does a national championship.
Well, the fact that somebody even wants Jim Harbaugh is remarkable to me, considering a year ago, this guy was dead.
Yep.
And he should have been. And he really had a remarkable season. But I think sometimes you just have to, accept the fact that if you're in Vegas and you've won 7 straight hands in poker, you know, maybe it's time to go get a drink and go home, go back to your suite. And in Harbaugh's case, he's not going to replicate this. I mean, I don't mean to make bold predictions. I've missed one on Harbaugh, I think Ohio State is going to be the favorite next year. They'll probably lose 4 or 5 more in a row to the Buckeyes, and he'll be sorry if he doesn't take one of these jobs. Now, which one is it going to be? I don't know. There are a million NFL openings, and the fact that Harbaugh's name keeps getting connected, whether it's the Bears, the Raiders, or someone else, I think he's got to go. And you know, I mean, he's not. I don't think he's stupid. I mean, I'm not putting him in up for a genius category based on some of his comments, but he really, if he turns down an opportunity now, I think he'll regret it. And guys, you know it. He was a good NFL head coach. He got to a Super Bowl, got to two NFC championship games. That's more than he's done in college, and that's more than he'll ever do in college.
So let's say he does leave. Does it leave us a vortex, a black hole in Michigan, or you know, is it some candidate still out there that can come fill that role and still make them a contender and build or expand on what the success that they had this year was?
I frankly think they can do better. You mentioned Bill O'Brien. I think he would be a pretty strong candidate for the Michigan job. I was with Luke Fickell yesterday. I mean, he would too, but I don't think Luke Fickell, being a Buckeye, is going to head over to Ann Arbor. But you know, they want. I mean, that's a plum job. I don't think it's as good as you know some of the jobs we mentioned earlier: Georgia, Alabama, LSU, places like that. But I just you know, if you're Jim Harbaugh and you got that one season in, it just makes sense. I just think he would relate better in the pros as well. And you know, he had some, you know, I think his last year at San Francisco was questionable, but until then he had a run of three or four years where he was considered one of the better NFL coaches.
Paul, we love talking to you. Always a great conversation. Always a lot of fun. Thanks so much. Go get your callers. I mean, this is one of the best listens ever.
Now, when you call me a thug, do I thug out or I just I don't know the lingo.
That's a great question, Bart. What is he supposed to say now as a thug when we say goodbye to him? Like, what does a thug say?
Just say no cap.
No cap. No cat.
No cap. That means no lies. No cap. No cap.
No cap. No cap. Okay, is there a book I can study for my next interview with you guys?
Yeah, we're going to get you that Ebonics. We're going to get you the Quavo book of thuggery.
Trust me, I'm still working on it myself, Paul.
Hey,
all the best to you.
Guys. Thank you so much.
You got it. Paul Feinbaum. But it is true,
Paul Feinbaum is a thug.
Yeah, that part is true. Now, there's different ways you could be a thug.
Yeah.
And his way is more of a mental thuggery.
Yeah. Yeah.
His way is when you come on his show and you bring some nonsense – mm-hmm. And he just he pulls
out that verbal ice pick. Like he just pulled the verbal ice pick. He hit Harbaugh two times.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a genius. I wouldn't put him in a genius. That's like a little verbal. Like right. Harbaugh, he probably was sitting there putting on some khaki pants like, "Oh, what the hell happened? I just had a pain in my abdomen."
Yeah. Yeah, that's
Paul. He just got
that's Paul. But we just love talk. He's one of the people I enjoy the most, especially talking about college football. Fantastic. So that was a lot of fun. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. A couple of people have been waiting on hold for a bit. Juice wants to talk some Giants with us, though. What's up, Juice?
My family, I hope you had a good holiday.
Happy New Year.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year. Today is my wife's birthday, and I'm acting like I don't remember because I'm doing a surprise birthday Saturday, so I've been sleeping on the couch for the last couple of days.
How you know she don't listen to the show, man? Don't give it away.
Yeah, didn't you say she was into Bart?
Listen, man, once I told her that the show was canceled because she said you was handsome, I don't think she's listening to it. So I'm safe right there. Her friend, her best friend in New Orleans is telling me, she said, oh, she is so angry at you.
What's her name? Let's give her a shout out. What's her name? You tell her happy birthday.
Her name is Nicole. Her name is Nicole.
Happy birthday, Nicole.
Happy birthday, Nicole.
First, all right, so now the pleasantries is over because I'm angry. I heard on Greeny's show today that I didn't catch the guy's name, but he was saying that how the Dolphins coach got fired and Joe Judge didn't get fired.
Yeah.
My thing is, how long was the Dolphins coach there?
He was there for 3 years, and he actually had a above 500 record.
Correct.
He actually is one of the very few people that have beaten Bill Belichick 4 out of 6 times. So he's 4-2 against Bill Belichick, and he's had 2 winning seasons in a row. No playoff appearances.
Okay, so now you just made a case why he shouldn't have been fired. I think I would have gave him at least another year in the Dolphins aspect. But in the Giants, why are we so quick to get rid of Joe Judge when really he had a lot of problems with the rosters and so forth?
My
thing with that is, I want to give him another year just to see what he do.
Yeah, well, the way, and thanks, Juice, and happy birthday to your wife. Now, Stephen Ross, and we played it during audio files.
We ain't canceled, Nicole. We ain't canceled.
No, no, please. And you can see Bart if you'd like on ESPN Plus.
Hi, Nicole.
As we had Stephen Ross on audio files earlier in the show, he said that there was
philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got the general manager,
and that means he chose Chris Greer over his head coach. Now, just again, Brian Flores was one game under 500 overall.
Okay.
But he did this year. They won 7 in a row, come back from a 1-7 start. I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
I mean, he took over a mess. And players, remember what they were when he got them.
Players weren't happy. There was a lot of players who went to social media not happy about the news that they let him go. But there was a disconnect between the head coach and the front office. You can't have that. Yeah. And the owner decided, I'm sticking with my front office guy. We'll find ourselves another coach. And that's it. That's what happened there. But with the Giants, as Dan Graziano was talking about this morning on Get Up, is that Joe Judge has actually had conversations with ownership about GM candidates, mainly because they want to know from him, is there anyone that you know? Because they don't want to have that same disconnect. They don't want to hire somebody that's going to come in and say, okay, I have to have this coach. Well, I'm going to fire him in a year, so we're wasting time here. What Graz is saying is that they could hire a GM, and the GM could tell them, look, I'm coming in, but I'm bringing my own coach in, and they'll say, all right, fine. And then Joe Judge is gone. But they also wanted to ask Joe Judge, is there somebody out there that you got a relationship with?
That's
and maybe
good.
We could have some synergy, because that's what they want. They want synergy. They want stability. They don't want to just keep hiring and firing.
Well, you go to the Patriot tree then, but not that he knows them, because he was only there for a short period of time. You go with Scott Pioli, Dorsey. Dorsey's a great candidate. I mean, look what he
was in Cleveland, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was in Kansas City, right? He helped bring in all those guys. He helped bring in Andy Reid. He helped bring in like Patrick Mahomes. Yep. Then he went there in short order, made Cleveland one of the best rosters in short order.
Mm-hmm.
Some disagreements there,
right?
So he's probably been gone from there for like maybe 2 years,
right?
But he built that roster right. He gutted it. He cleaned it up really quickly. Made the transaction that he needed to. He's a guy that's respected. Now, who knows if Rick Spielman or Pace, how they're viewed. But they're former execs. You still got Lewis Riddick out there, who's people been believing, is on the doorstep of some of these places. More openings. Let's see what happens.
All right, so we'll take your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 on that. But also, Bart has some news about the Jets that is very promising toward them continuing their rebuild.
Huh.
It is something that came their way that they will take advantage of, and he says this is not a little story to be overlooked. We'll let you know what that is after he tells you about Vivid Seats.
With the safe return of live events, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. That's right, every alley-oop slam, every one-timer, every sideline grab can be experienced live. With Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn rewards like free tickets. All you have to do is collect stamps, redeem, and repeat. It's that easy. From upper level to courtside, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the events that matter to you. So grab your tickets today and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. That's Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
Sports Radio, ESPN.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Berman, and welcome aboard to the ESPN Radio Network.
30 years and counting. This is ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, we're brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Alan Han, Bart Scott, and the number 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's go to Fabian from Staten Island. Shaolin, what's up, Fabian?
Hey, guys, what's up? I want to talk about Joe Judge, and I want to preface this by saying I have no problem getting rid of him. And really, with a question in mind for you guys, is like, what does it really take to be a GM? This is me thinking outside the box. It might sound crazy, but if you're John Mara and you love Joe Judge, you don't want to get rid of him, and Joe Judge hangs his hat on the guys he has on the team being the right guys, and I believe that to be true, but we don't have the right coach. How crazy is it to say you're going to make Joe Judge the GM and he could go out and get whatever coach he wants and he could continue to build this team?
I would put that at a, if 1 to 10 crazy, that's a 10.
Yeah, that like he doesn't have an experience as a head coach.
Yeah.
He's 37 years old, and I know you see guys like Sashi Brown.
The guy's never been a head coach. Now you want to make him a GM, which he's never done any of that either. Yeah, Fabian, I don't even think he's all qualified in on these are the players I want, because he's made that pretty clear too. I mean,
they're in salary cap hell. They didn't have enough money to sign a player
53?
To be able to put 53 bodies on the field.
That is like, yeah, that's special.
They got to cut a lot of people and they got to get rid of a lot of people. They got a lot of money. I'm sure that he was cool with all that. You talk about Adoree Jackson, you talk about, you know, Bradberry, you talk about, you know, bringing in Logan Ryan. Mm-hmm. Like, all these guys are older guys and those are win now guys. But now they're dead cat guys. And what are you going to do, because Philadelphia was supposed to be rebuilding this year? They're in the playoffs.
It's amazing.
And they have 3 first-round draft picks to get even better next year.
And the youngest coaching staff. You'd think they had no experience. Oh, they're over their heads. This guy's wearing T-shirt. He's trying to be a Philly fan.
The worst opening press conference.
I mean, all of it was a disaster. And then how does it look now? Because all it takes – and that's the thing.
And we know where Dallas is.
You can win the press conference, but then it becomes show me. And that's when everybody starts really.
Joe Judge won a press conference.
Oh yeah, but then we start watching you. It's like, all right, well, let's see now. You said all this stuff. Now you're going to back it up, and it's like, yeah, no. And meanwhile, the opposite happens in Philadelphia, which, by the way, isn't your division. Hey, Ryan Clark has no reason to love the Giants. I mean, did he play?
He played one year. Yeah, he played.
It was just 1 year though, right? Like, yeah, he really didn't put a lot of time in there. He has no reason to love them.
Played in Washington too.
But right, but right now RC hates him.
I'm so tired of Joe Judge. And listen, I wouldn't hate the Giants so much if I didn't hate Joe Judge so much. If he didn't always walk up like he was all swole and he was all big and bad all the damn time and lose every freaking game, I wouldn't even be upset. If he was humble, right? If he wasn't arrogant, if he didn't act like he was Bill Belichick. You know what he is? Bill Belichick your ass out of the stadium because he's sorry as hell.
That's some passion right there. How about you, Dominique Foxworth? What do you think, Foxy?
If I'm a GM and I walk into a meeting and Joe Judge is sitting there, you know that Homer Simpson meme where he walks into the bar, hangs up his coat, and it turns around and walks right back out? I'm doing that joint. I think it's Homer's dad that does that. I'm going in and I'm coming right on out because I know this isn't the place for me.
That's the idea of the reports, again, that Judge could be involved in the GM search. Although, again, Dan Graziano is saying that they talk to him just to see if he knows anyone. They want synergy between the head coach and the GM. But if they do find a GM that they really like, and that GM says, I need my own coach, they're not going to stop him from doing that. Listen to Jordan Renan, who covers the Giants for ESPN, talking about Judge's future linked to the new GM.
They would like to bring back Joe Judge. They expect to bring back Joe Judge, right? But it's going to depend on, you know, what his plan is moving forward, who the new general manager they hire is, and then they're going to move from there, because as they, you know, put out in their and has been made clear in their press release, is the hierarchy is going to be the general manager overseeing the head coach. So if you're going to have a general manager overseeing the head coach, how are you going to hire a new general manager and not leave any wiggle room there? So while they might want to keep Joe Judge, it's still going to be kind of in limbo and hanging there until they have this new general manager in place.
That's Jordan Renan. So Bart, it does sound like that his job status is tenuous right now. It is not a given he will be back, but right now he's still the head coach. Is that the best way to describe it? Is that he's the coach now, but it doesn't mean he's going to be the coach when we get into mini camps, OTAs, and everything else.
Well, that decision would be made way before that.
Right.
You know, that decision is going
to
be made.
That's the next time he's going to be on the field. So.
Right. Yeah.
Or anybody will.
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, man, this is an important process because this is when you're starting to develop your draft board, figuring things out. You got about 2 weeks of downtime. I would think that after the Super Bowl, they probably will have a general manager in place because you want to also, like, you can't even interview because you have a coach. So you can't even interview, like, some of the prospects to see, like, hey, we want you or something like that. But as soon as those guys like Byron Leftwich, like, Todd Bowles, mm-hmm. you know, the people that are going to go farther, we anticipate to go farther, that, you know, have outstanding assistants. You want to be able to interview them before the Super Bowl. So they need to make a decision in the next couple of weeks. They have to go on an extensive search to figure out who's going to be their general manager. Now, I know Joe Judge was hired after the fact and it was late in the process, but, you know, they had to have a general manager before the draft comes.
Think about how they chose Joe Judge over Matt Rhule, which, looking at it now, all right.
Yeah.
But they also passed on Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
Now, I know not everybody loves Mike McCarthy in Dallas.
Safe pick, though.
But here's a guy that certainly, at least he's got a ring, right?
Yeah.
When you think about when they hired Joe Judge, what were their other options? Well, that you could say, you know, this is the guy.
Yeah. They interviewed Eric Bieniemy.
Who still is looking for an opportunity.
You talk about a guy, you're supposed to go out with these great weapons, and every enemy was just as hot as anybody else, and his name kind of gets pushed to the back of the line because guys like Kellen Moore is now being pushed to the front of the line.
But think what I mean is that the New York job is a difficult job on many levels, that Joe is learning this himself, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have to be able to handle not only trying to turn a franchise that just hasn't done anything in a decade and trying to get them back on track, while also dealing with the New York media, where you're the only guy that talks every day. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a lot of other markets, I mean, Dallas, you're certainly dealing with an intense media, right? But in a lot of other markets, it's very laid back. It's certainly not as intense as it is here. And, of course, you have a fan base that is desperate and frustrated.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone. Like, this job is not for everyone. And this job, a lot of times, is not for a guy that's never done it before.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is – rarely is this a place where you take a guy that's never done it before.
McAdoo was a guy, they did it twice. Pat Shurmur. But he was a guy at least he had been in the league for a long time.
Yeah,
Joe Judge was 37 years old?
Yeah, not much of a resume. He's bounced around. Like, he did – you know, again, under Saban, under Belichick, they thought, okay, he's got that kind of pedigree – then maybe he's learned a lot, and they wanted to go a young coach.
It's crazy.
They get fired up with all the trends. These jobs, especially a job like the Giants, cannot be given to amateurs. But yeah, I say that, and then there's Sirianni, who shows up in Philly, you know, wet behind the ears, can't even grow a beard, breath still smelling like Similac, and he's got them in the playoffs.
The crazy thing is, man,
and that's a tough town to win it.
We give way too much credit to the assistants that are Bill Belichick's. Because if you look down the list, you saw that Gerard Mayo is about to start like, this dude just started coaching 2 months ago.
Didn't he just retire?
He retired. He's been retired for maybe 5 years. But, like, he's been there before, and it's like his name is coming up there. Like, when are people going to learn that you're not getting Bill Belichick? Now, okay, Brian Flores might be the second most successful behind
Bill O'Brien is
Bill O'Brien. Stand behind Bill O'Brien.
He's done very
well. But, man, when are we going to learn, man?
Yeah, well, we'll see. But right now, again, Joe Judge has a job. But I'm going to add that part here of Giants fans. It sounds like it's just for now. All right, coming up again on the Jets side of things, Bart has something, an opportunity for the Jets that they should they will take advantage of that he feels like is something that is very important. Oh, that's fine. J. Dub points out Mike Vrabel. But he didn't really coach under him, right? He just played for him.
Yeah, he didn't coach under him. He played under him. He went and learned in Ohio State for a long time.
Vrabel's been absolutely fantastic. Yeah. All right. Again, on the Jets, also, Kyrie Irving plays last night. We talked with Jay Will a little bit about this. Plays last night. He gets hurt, but he does finish the game. 22 points. The Nets, though, keep losing, and he cannot play in home games. Can you imagine him sitting out of Game 7 at home? But right now, I want to tell you to join host Gotham Chopra as he explores what Tom Brady has meant to football and the world in Man in the Arena, a new podcast from ESPN Plus and Religion of Sports, a companion piece to Gotham's ESPN Plus docuseries. This 10-part podcast examines the improbable ripple effects of Brady's career, things that have forced us to rethink everything we thought we knew about time, hatred, perfection, even fate. The podcast is brought to you by State Farm, ZipRecruiter, and Rocket Mortgage. Listen to, and follow Man in the Arena now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, and stream the docuseries on ESPN+. We'll get to your calls and more next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bart and Hahn.
Fitting way to end it, right? You called for it.
Yeah, this is how everybody crying. You know everybody was crying, like hugging each other and rocking back and forth. Man, they've been waiting for it.
Now, is this a song about the state or is it about a woman?
No, it's about the state.
Are you sure?
If you've seen the Ray Charles movie,
yeah.
He kind of talks about it because they had got Georgia out of there. And he was banned from Georgia because he wouldn't play in a place that wouldn't allow his fans to be segregated. I mean, they made his fans be segregated.
Right.
So he came back, and you know they finally accepted him. They made Ray Charles Day. They gave him all the roses, man. It's the most beautiful thing in the world, man. To this day, I still grab your wrist.
But the way it's written,
yeah,
it sounds like it's about a woman. Yeah, and Georgia, woman. Obviously, being a female. So that's what's so magical about this song. I asked that question for a reason, of course. Yeah. It's about both. It is a love song, and yet is also a love song.
I had that same question about Rakisha. I didn't know.
But
it's a rap song, Rakisha, and he was talking about lean and syrup. I'm like, man, what are you talking about, man?
Hey, it's Bart and Hahn, by the way. What are we talking about? Bart is going to tell us something if you're a Jets fan. And in the NFL, this is something each year that two franchises, right?
Yep, two franchises.
Two franchises get this opportunity.
Usually the worst ones.
And it's important. And the Jets are getting an opportunity to do what, Bart?
Well, the Jets are going to get an opportunity to be one of the coaching staffs that is going to go down there and coach the Senior Bowl. And why is this important? Because some of the best players, you talk about Davenport, you talk about Debo Samuels, you talk about some of the best players that get discovered down there. Mm-hmm. You have an opportunity not only to put them on the board, coach them to see what they're able to retain, you're able to see what their skill set is and how they match with your particular system because you run your system. And, you know, a lot of times guys come out of there, they become hidden gems, and you know about them, and a lot of other places don't know about them. And you're able to pick them up and be able to put them on your football team. You know, Robert Saleh was a member of the San Francisco 49ers, and that's how they discovered Debo Samuels because they were down there for the Senior Bowl. And so, you know, just something to keep your eye on. And the Jets didn't qualify to be the coaching staff, but what happens is the guys that are ahead of them that could have coached games, Jacksonville don't have a coaching staff in place. And so, like, it's almost like they're getting lucky at the right time to kind of be able to be fortunate enough to go down there and coach. And also the Lions are coaching staff as the other team that's going to coach the other team.
All right. All right. So certainly keep an eye on any benefit that might have. Hey, Bart, just quickly here. We talked a little bit about this with Jay Will, but so Brooklyn loses again. They've been struggling. Kyrie goes for 22.
Yep.
But gets hurt. Did you happen to see the play where Nasir Little dove for the ball, and he hurt his ankle, and he felt like it was a dirty play, or at least it wasn't a basketball play, he felt like, and he called him out for it. Yeah, I felt like the kid was just trying to be aggressive and get a loose ball.
Just hustling. But this is the issue, right? When you talk about, you know, Kyrie Irving, when he comes in, this team has adopted a identity that they play defense. And then when Kyrie comes in on the road, they turn from a non-defensive team to like an offensive team. Mm. And that's one of the things you're going to have to, you know, figure out. Is Kyrie willing and able and capable to buy into the defensive side of the ball? Because if you watch the Nets all year, you know, they've been a much improved and better defensive team.
Not lately, though.
And, yeah, because Kyrie's coming back, and maybe those bad habits is they think they can outscore everybody.
No Porzingis tomorrow at the Garden. Knick fans are going to be sad not to see KP, but you'll see us tomorrow. Bart, see you then.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.